Welcome to this episode of Cook Revivals Presents. Let's go now into this powerful message.
You don't got no troubles. All you need is faith in God.
God bless you. This is Prophet Trish Allen. Welcome to Igniting Faith TV program today. Oh, what a joy it is to come into your home. We know that God is a big God with a big plan for you. Well, I'm going to draw your attention to the subject today. We're going to talk about identity. You know, so many people have identity crisis. They don't know who they are in the kingdom. And they don't know who Christ is in their life and the purpose of their existence on this earth. So Matthew chapter 16, verses, I believe it's here. I have it right here. Matthew chapter 16, 13 through 16. Let's read together. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to him, "But whom say ye that I am?" Then Simon Peter, speaking out, answered and said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjonas, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." These are speaking, what a profound prophecy to Simon Peter. He asked his disciples, so let's go over that. I have a few notes here. Jesus asked them right after feeding multitudes, meeting the needs with the two fishes and five barley loaves. Now we fast forward to the next part of their ministry, next scenes of what they're doing. And Jesus is asking a question. Now, number one, did Jesus ask this question to test his disciples? Very good question. Did he do this, ask them, "Who do men say that I am," to test their faith? What was Jesus looking for in the life of the disciples? Well, first and foremost, he was allowing them to see that who is among you is greater than the report that in the town saying, some say that you are Elias, you're Elijah, some say you are Jeremiah the prophet. Those that are in the city spreading this, that he is Jeremiah or he's one of the prophets in the Old Testament, he had to teach the disciples a lesson of faith in the middle of confusion, middle of turmoil. They had to get revelatory insight, in other words. Because until you see him for yourself, you're going to have a testimony from another one. But then you left questioning yourself. Do I believe him? Do I trust him? Do I want to walk with him? And what is my purpose of serving him? What is my destination? Because you're surrounded with identity crisis. And many people do not know who they are in the kingdom. So when you get to that place of not knowing who you are in the kingdom, ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand first and foremost what God's desiring to do in your life. You need to realize, okay, this is a time like never before where God wants to be glorified in your life. So he told the disciples after they just got through seeing the miraculous multiplication of two fish and five barley loaves, thousands were fed. Thousand were healed by his power, by his special touch. And now he's walking with the disciples, and there's rumors in the vicinity where Jesus is in the village, and said, he's asking his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And one by one of his disciples had no inclination of who he was. Although they were seeing miracles, although they were seeing healings, the deaf raised, unstopped deaf ears, mute speak, blinded eyes see, leprosy cleans, but they now they're in a place where Jesus confronting, what do you believe and what do not believe? He asked the disciple and stopped me and said, who do the men in Jerusalem say I am? Who did they say I am in Galilee and Capernaum? Who did they say I am? And then one by one, until you get revelation of him, you're going to know him by someone else's experience, someone else's encounter. But when you have your own personal encounter with him, oh my God, that's when God changes your life. That's when your life changes. When you understand, first and foremost, who he is. What is he saying? Because this is a time like never before. God wants you to draw closer to him, nudging on your heartstrings. Why? Because he's teaching the disciples a lesson. Until you know me, you're going to believe what everyone else is saying. You have to have your own relationship with Jesus. Thank God for other people's experience and that encounter with the glory of God and their road of Damascus experience. But you have to have your own personal encounter with Jesus so you can know who he really is in a time of your greatest needs, when everything is piling up against you, when it's hard to believe or take him at his word. When you know him, you can trust him and stand on his word. And when I've done all I know what to do, I must stand. Put on the whole armor of God. So he told his disciples, he said, first of all, he asked them a question. Was he testing their faith? Was he testing their faith when he said, all right, you have been with me. You have seen the miracles. You have seen the supernatural power of heaven. You've seen Father God display his glory in the lives of healing, deliverance, supernatural miracles. He said, now I want to ask each and every one of you that I've chosen to be my disciples. I'm going to ask you a question. So number one, was Jesus testing their faith? Yes, he was. He was testing them, their knowledge of him, testing their faith and believing him, taking this opportunity that was spread throughout the city that he's Jeremiah or he's Elijah or one of the prophets. Now he's asked his own disciples whom he had chosen. All right. The men in the city are saying that I'm Elijah that called down fire upon the false prophets of Baal. Others are saying, in the part of the city, he's Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. But who do you say that I am? You have been around me long enough to know and seen great exploits. Who do you say that I am? And one by one, none of the disciples can ask that question. I mean, they couldn't answer that question. So yes, Jesus was testing their faith. He was testing their knowledge. Have you learned anything from what you see? Have you learned anything from what you have experienced? Have you learned the God of multiplication? Have you learned the God that still heals? The God that cancels out disappointments? The God that sees you in the lowest valley of your life? Who do you say that I am? And many times the circumstances of life can blind us to the place where we don't know who he is. We're desiring to know him, but we're blinded by our circumstances or our circumstances prophesying our defeat and our demise because we're looking at our surroundings and everything seems to be a giant around us that's enforcing doubt and disbelief. He asked the disciples and tested them, by this question, their knowledge and their faith. Who do you say that I am? I not only want to hear what others are saying, I want to hear what you got to say because you are in the inward circle. You're the closest ones to me. They say I'm Jeremiah. They say I'm Elijah, one of the Old Testament prophets, Malachi, Micah. But who do you, as my disciples, whom I've chosen to carry on the work and allow In other words, he's reproducing himself in his life as disciples. He wants them to carry on the ministry. That's why he has these 12 disciples. But he cannot bring them to the next part of that ministry in their life, even though they just saw the God of multiplication, two fish and five barley loaves. Now he's questioned the identity of who he is. He's questioning them. Do you know? And one by one, they had identity crisis. They're perplexed with such a question that's testing them at their very essence, their very core, their very being. And one by one, they said, you're Jeremiah, you're Elias. And then finally, the most outspoken disciple spoke up and said, thou art Christ. Thou art Christ. He asked them the first one. He tested their faith. Who do men say that I am? John the Baptist, Jeremiah, Elijah. Then he asked him a second question. All right. Who am I to you? He told Moses, I am that I am. Go back to the highest monarch of Egypt and tell him, I am that I am, sent you back to deliver my people out of Egypt bondage, out of the controlling, manipulating principality there in Egypt, and set my people free so they can worship me and throne me with glory. Listen, he said, Moses, I am that I am. I am whatever you need me to be. I am that I am. Identity crisis can blind you to see who Christ is in your life. Your circumstances, your surroundings can blind you to it. But you've got to know who God is for the glory of God. The disciples are asked the first question that he tested their faith and their knowledge. What are the people saying about me? Who do they think I am? Jeremiah, Elijah, John the Baptist, one of the prophets. And then finally, the most outspoken disciple, Simon Peter, stood upon his feet and said, thou art Christ. Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Son of the Most High God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father in heaven. Peter began to understand, I know who he is. I got a revelation of him. I saw a revelation who Jesus is. He's the living Son of God. And then it released prophecy. See, when you know who he is, you get out of identity crisis and you get, I am what God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. I can be what God says I be. Everything in my life is going to be line by line, precept by precept. Then you know what it does when you get revelation from him? It releases prophecy, unlocks your destiny. Look what he says. He said, also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock. He said, you are Peter. Didn't address him by his first name, Simon. He said, you are Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bound in heaven is bound in earth. What you loose in heaven, loose in the earth. This is such a dynamic prophecy released out of Revelation. The moment that Peter recognized, first and foremost, he's not Elijah. He's greater than the fire that came down from heaven and smote the false prophets. He's not Jeremiah. He goes beyond the weeping. He goes all the way to the cross. Died, he loved me, buried, hid me, rose, he saved me, carried my sins so far away. Give me the right to live a life of success in this earth. Give me the right to live in the peace, the serenity of God. Give me the right and the covenant, God's guarantee to heal me of all my afflictions. God's guarantee is in this word. When you come to a revelation, who do you say that he is to you today? I'm asking you a question. Only you can answer that. Who is he to you today? Is he, I am that I am? Do you know who he is? Because until you have a personal encounter with him, you're going to go based upon what someone else is saying and their experience and their walk. But you have a God's guarantee to know him with all your might, with all your ability, with all your heart and spirit, soul, body, mind. Oh, my God, what a powerful program today. We're talking about, number one, who do men say that I am? We're talking about identity. Why is it important? Every one of you have a physical address. You have a thumbprint that identifies you over 6 billion people on this planet. You have your own thumbprint that identifies who you are, that leads you to the physical address that houses the presence of God. Wow, who do men say that I am? He's more powerful than Jeremiah, more powerful than John the Baptist. He's the son of the living God. Peter got this revelation saying he's just not a prophet, a teacher, a priest. He's the son of the living God. He's the one all heaven praises. He's the one that all demons and devil fear and tremble. He is the one. When you feel like you're in a hopeless situation, he becomes your hope. He is the one when you're lying in the bed of affliction and grief and sorrow has surrounded you. Depression has become your garment. Your sackcloth has become darkened by depression. The moment that you're trying to hold on to what you don't know what you're holding on to, that moment he becomes, I am that I am. Identity. Moving out of identity crisis. Who do you say he is? I'm asking you a question today. Who is he to you? Who do you say that he is? Because until you have your own relationship with him, you're going to basically live your whole entire life off of someone else's testimony. Let God prove himself to you. Let God become real to you. Open your heart to God. And allow God to speak to you from heaven. Allow God to demonstrate his presence and his power to you. Because there's nothing that God cannot do. He said, blessed are you, Peter. He didn't address him as Simon. Simon was his reef name. Peter is a rock. Petros is a rock. So Simon means he was tossing back and forth like the reef in the bottom of the ocean. When the current is moving different directions, you may not can see it, but you can see it. When you see that reef begin to move, you know that's the direction that the current is coming that direction. So Simon was like a reef in his walk. Many times he was so unsure. Many times he doubted. Many times he questioned it. Many times he gave up. You say, where did he give up? He washed their nets after they were fishing all night and caught nothing. So he hung up the nets, he gave up. But then Jesus spoke to that situation where he was giving up opportunities there. That knock at the doors of your heart, rising to the occasion, seeing the God, the splendor of heaven. Blessed are you, Peter. You're now in a metamorphosis change, a transformation taking place. You are now no longer a reef shaken about with every winds of doctrine, every winds of opposition. Not tossed it to and fro, not unstable. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He said, you are Peter, and upon you, I'm going to build my church. You are a rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Oh, what a powerful prophecy. He released prophecy in Peter's life, opened up who he was. He let Peter see himself, brought him to identity, his own identity. So Peter can see himself like Christ sees him. Because he saw Christ as the Son of the living God, not as a mere man. Saw him as the supreme God, sovereignty Father. And therefore it unlocked prophecy back into his life and his ministry. Upon you, the gates of hell shall not prevail. I will build my church. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock, talk about him. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Oh my God. God's guarantee that no matter what you encounter, what you may face in life, what is thrown at you, what comes to your pathway, it's God's guarantee, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here telling you today in a Night in Faith TV program, you're moving away from identity crisis into knowing who he is. Is he your Lord today? Do you know him as your Lord? Have you repented of your sins? Turn your face towards him. Ask him to come into your heart and write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I hope you have. We'd love to send you some free literature, information, email. We'd love to get something out to you if you're just now coming to the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's not enough to be saved. You got to get yourself rooted, ground, disciple, and develop for the kingdom, that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him every single time. Well, we're coming to a close of this broadcast today. But before we do, I want to remind you again, download our free app, all the information at the bottom of the screen. You can dial that toll-free number. Prayer warriors are standing by to take your prayer requests Monday through Friday. Listen, God is a God of miracles. Whatever you believe in God for, we're standing here in Kutch Revivals International Ministry, praying with you and praying for you, telling you that the best is yet to come. Just like Peter, the God of revelation, personally, he said, no, you're not Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. It goes beyond the weeping. You're not the prophet called down fire on a false prophet. It goes beyond that. He's the tears in everybody's eyes. He's the fire that burns in everybody's heart. But he's your Lord if you allow him a second today. Well, my friend, who do you say that he is? Only you can answer that today. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I know who he is. I'm walking in the favor of God. I'm walking in the miracles of God. So I want to pray that favor of you today. Father, we thank you for all this watching us around the world. I release favor, faith in their lives, revelation, encounter with you so they'll know who you are. Lord, reveal yourself to them. Whatever they're going through, make yourself real to them. Let them know you'll never forsake them, nor will you turn your face from them. You know their downsetting. You know their uprising. Thank you today for revelation. I impart revelation so they can know who you are. This is just a test you're about to pass. God is just testing your faith and your knowledge so you can discover for your own self, I know who he is. I know whom I serve. I know whom I trust. I know whom I believe. Father, we thank you so much. And again, we thank you for tuning in, taking your time and listen to us. Listen, go to our YouTube page. And if you're not a subscriber, go ahead and subscribe. And also, too, share our Facebook programs with your family, your friends. Hit that like button. Share it, share it, share it. Hit the likes. Let us know how we can minister to you. Also, too, email us what subject that you would love for us to teach on Night in Faith. I'd love to hear back from you. So email our office today and let me know what subject you would love for us to discuss and teach you how to help you grow and develop you. And again, thank you for your financial support. If you're not a monthly partner, will you pray about it? Close your eyes right now and ask the Lord, how can you support this ministry with a love gift of any size? We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for coming on board. Until the next time, you don't got no troubles. All you need is faith in God. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Kutch Revivals Presents. If you would like to help support the ministry, please visit kutchrevivals.org. Loyal partners, such as yourself, give life to this ministry. We just want to take some time to say how much we appreciate you. Your partnership makes this ministry possible, and we can't say thank you enough. God bless, until next time.